Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, along with Amy is helping out today. Thank you, Amy, and pray for Stephen. I think he's under the weather a little bit. And as well, Jennifer here, together at the Intentional Living Center, we're going to try to declutter our lives, if we can do that together here. Maybe simplify it a little bit in the next 28 minutes. It's going to be my word. I just told the ladies my word here for 2026 is going to be simplify, really simplify and declutter. And there's a little difference, obviously. Declutter, we immediately think of our desk, our closet, our garage, right? Where simplifying really is a more holistic thing, our whole life. Simplify our lives as Christians to really figure out what pleases Him and then do those things, right? That's what we're going to focus on. I'm going to open the phone line. I just want you to join in on the discussion of how you've been decluttering your life. What have you learned? How's clutter affecting you or your family? Maybe some of you have someone in your life who is a hoarder, not only of stuff, but maybe of thoughts and what have you, and you want to join in the discussion today. So hopefully in the next 28 minutes, we can get our minds wrapped around this thing of declutter. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Interesting. Albert Einstein made the statement that out of clutter, we should find simplicity. What's interesting, though, I'm on the phone here. I'm looking. I Googled, and you can do this too. Google Albert Einstein's office on the day he died. And Ralph Morris, just hours after Einstein's death in April of 1955, went into his office and photographed his office. And what I'm looking at is a lot of clutter. But you know what? I bet you if Einstein could walk in that office, he knew exactly where everything was. That's one of the things I tell my wife, because she wants me to organize my desk at home. And I say, but I know where everything is if I organize it, and then I won't remember where I put it. But seriously, in this picture, we see really a testimony of how his mind worked. His desk is cluttered with papers and journals and a pipe and tobacco and a blackboard right behind his desk. Some of you remember blackboard with chalk. Remember those days? And on it are all sorts of equations reflecting how his mind was working, even up to the very end. But that statement's true. Maybe out of the clutter we have in our life, let's find simplicity, the simplicity so we can live our lives to honor God. Come on in, join the discussion. What have you learned? What are you learning? Have you decluttered your life? What's going on? Or maybe you have a question. 888-888-1717. Love to have you join in.
My name is Cindy. I'm a listener in Scottsdale, Arizona. Today I heard the Intentional Living broadcast on decluttering. I ran across a YouTube channel by The Minimal Mom 3 months ago. Just watching her short videos has encouraged me to take a closer look at my closets and drawers. Who knew I had 15 pairs of shoes that I no longer wear? I quickly donated them and have been chipping away at the kitchen cabinets too. Cluttering is oppressive to my heart. I am enjoying greater emotional and mental freedom as I examine my possessions to ask God, what does He really have for me? And then trust Him to lead me and provide.
Yeah, that's good. All right. We got some really interesting stories we're going to be sharing with you coming up here, as well as those of you calling to join us at 888-888-1717. You know, it says in the book of Proverbs 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. That's a great verse. Have you ever found that the more you collect stuff, trouble seems to come with it sometimes? Ecclesiastes 4 says, better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls of toil and striving after the wind. Man, that's good. Godliness with contentment, we've all heard this, is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and can't take anything out of it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We go with what we got on, right? No pockets in that final suit, guys, that we wear on that day. We're talking about decluttering our lives. You can join us. 888-888-1717 is the number. Beverly is in Kansas. Hi, Beverly. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Good. Hey, you are you on a declutter journey in your life?
I already went through that, and I decided the only things I needed to keep was the things that brought me joy. Something that my mom gave me or something that my friend gave me, but something that brought me joy.
How'd you come to that conclusion, and how did your life actually change as a result? What if I came and looked before and after, what would the picture look like?
Before was a 3-bedroom house with everything, and after is a 1-bedroom house with the things that bring me joy.
What are the things that bring you joy?
There's less stress. Pictures of my grandchildren, pictures of my son and his wife, pictures of their family. I kept pictures, but I got rid of all my foo-foo stuff, things that I thought I had to collect.
Yeah.
Because in the end, I can't take anything with me that may be a picture of them in my pocket.
How has this changed your life?
I've always been a declutterer, and I thought I was really did a great job at doing it until I had to do it for myself. And it taught me that I don't need all this stuff. It's just stuff.
Yeah.
When I die, you can fight over it if you want, but it's just stuff. It doesn't take away any memories or anything, so...
Was there any grieving process? I know a lot of people, especially people that have a psychological issue with hoarding, really struggle throwing away anything at all. Was it difficult at all for you to get rid of some of that stuff?
The only thing that I really liked is I used to collect Boyd's bears, and I had thousands of dollars in them. And I had a hard time just donating them, so I took them to my church because I had all the boxes and all the tags. And it made me happy to find out that they were able to collect like $7,000 out of my whole collection.
Wow.
When it was all done and over with. And I donated that to the church. You know, it was like, I don't know if you're going to get anything for this, but... And after it was done, I was happy. You know, it's like, where it needed to be because God gave it to me, the money, to begin with. And
yeah.
Might as well give it back to him, so...
It sounds like you've...
I'm not a keeper of...
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's ever been a big issue with you, but I know we got people listening where if you look around your house, you look around your life, and it's pretty stressful. Did you find less stress after a lot of this stuff was gone in your life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like so simple. You know, I can walk into a room and it's just so simple. I don't find myself going out and having to buy something to replace something because it's not that way anymore. I don't know how to explain it. It's just... I'm more content. I'm more at peace with the fact that I can go into a store and walk out and not buy anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you explained it pretty well, actually. Thank you, Beverly. I appreciate it. You know, the statistics on clutter are pretty interesting. Over 11% of people rent storage units. I think it's got to be higher than that. But, I mean, it seems like they pop up all over town, new storage units. Talk about passive income. Someone brings all their junk, puts it in a 10x10 storage unit, and there it sits, month after month, year after year. Oh, boy. All right. Listen, there's a lot of research that shows how clutter can affect our lives. I mentioned one of them, the research on stress. It can affect not only that, but some people are isolated. They feel isolated as a result of not wanting people to come into their homes or not comfortable with people coming into their life because of all the chaos and stress in their life. So while this is on a continuum, some of us have issues that might be on a scale of 1 to 10. Some of you are a 10. Come on, you know somebody who might be. Some of us are a 2 or 3 in this process. But the message is, let's simplify so we can focus on that which brings pleasure to Christ and benefit to ourselves. Come on in. What have you learned? What's your question? How has decluttering or simplifying made a difference? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
An emotionally weak person, when you're around them, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. There's that sense of, if I say something, or if I do something, or if I
respond in a certain way, I'm walking on eggshells and they could crack. And so there's a sense of carefulness, being careful around this person. It could be that there's an overreaction to normal life situations. That's what I often will do when I'm feeling fearful or anxious. I'll overreact to little things, and Donna can tell you that. I'll overreact to them. And we all have these kinds of things, right? Another way you can see if a person is struggling with their emotions is, you know, when they're calling you on the phone and you see the caller ID, maybe you hesitate before you answer the phone.
Yeah, that's an excerpt from this month's lesson for our members up on our website at theintentionallife.com. Members supporting the ministry, helping us reach people for Christ. At the end of the day, when we have a topic that's so practical like declutter or simplify your life, there's a spiritual component here. You know, the Bible is not silent when it comes to the issues that we're talking about when we look at living our lives intentionally for Christ. I read some of them. Here's more. 1 Corinthians, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. Now, I know that's in the context often of the church and the relationships within the body of Christ. But boy, that can be applied as well, I think, to the confusion that comes to our own personal lives as well. That's not God didn't author that. That's not him. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus very clear, don't lay up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and the tax guy are going to come. That's not in there, by the way. And the thieves will break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Be interesting, wouldn't it, to have a house you could leave the doors open because whatever they stole wouldn't be that valuable, except the pictures of the grandkids, maybe. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, going on in Matthew 6, 21. Declutter in our lives. Let's go. You can join us, 888-888-1717. Denise, how you doing? Hello, Denise. Are you there? All right. Apparently not. Maybe. Oh, on line 3, wrong button. I'm sorry. We'll get to Denise in just a moment. In the meantime, let's go on over to Jeff in Arizona. Do you have some clutter in your life, my friend?
I do. What I was going to tell you was my wife and I moved recently from Tucson to Albuquerque, and we were on one of our trips. We listened to a book on tape about decluttering, and we both kind of got on the same sheet. And this took months. It was very mindful, and it was very thoughtful, and it was actually difficult. But we unloaded truckloads, garage loads. I mean, we came here. Our closets have very few clothes. The children have very few toys. I know where everything is in the house. We live in a little tiny house. I know where everything is in the garage, and it's uncluttered. And it seems like once we uncluttered that area, not only did it bring us closer together as a couple, it was a lot like when we attended Financial Peace University and got together about our finances. That drew us together. I mean,
how about your kids? How do they feel about the decluttering project?
You know what? I'm a full-time stay-at-home now to a 4- and 6-year-old. I'm retired, and they don't seem to mind, although they bring home a lot of stuff from school. Some of it gets displayed. Most of it just moves, you know, directly into the recycle. If it's something that's really unusual, then we hang on to it. But for the most part, my wife and I talk about how simple our life is.
Yeah. Now, how is your life different today? It's simple, but in other ways, how has this made your life better or different?
You know, I just think it just makes us more mindful. You know, we're regular church attenders. I just think it's made us feel lighter and happier. And for me, you know, when I walk into the house and I'm the one that maintains it, it just doesn't take me a lot of time, and it's organized. And it kind of produces a lightness, somewhat of a joy, I would say. But it's been good for us. And now that we've done it, we continue to do it. And
it's good.
I don't know how we did it before, so.
Well, when you talk about truck, you must have had a lot of stuff that went off site.
Oh my gosh, no! There were family heirlooms. I mean, I had a roll top desk that was my dad's, a 1920s vintage. Just things that had been around, followed. And I found a great place in Tucson. I actually donated it to Ben's Bells in Tucson.
Yeah,
a historic place that it fit in. So I found very mindful, heartfelt places to donate lots of big stuff. And then all the rest of the small stuff, it just went. And you realize once you do that, you just don't need much. it's just interesting. I know where everything is in the house. I can tell you what's in every cabinet, every box, every drawer. It's just, it's great.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Man, I don't know. I was thinking about that roll-top desk, and you think about some of those things that have great sentimental value, but on the day we see Jesus, it's still going to be a roll-top desk left behind, and you think, okay, could it go to better use, or am I going to pass it on to someone who could use it? I don't know. It's interesting. We're talking about simplifying our lives. Maybe at some point we talk about when is too much simple not good. I don't know. My guess is most of us haven't reached that yet. Okay, let's get back to calls. Denise is in Michigan. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Terrific. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about decluttering?
Well, it's something that, first of all, we moved 6 years ago, and that was the process of it. But my thing that I wanted to share with you today is I'm a reseller. I have spaces in a mall. I sell on the internet. You know, this is the way that my husband and I supplement our Social Security. Mm. So there's, when you're buying for resale, you have, you know, you can go and select things yourself. But I also have friends that say, oh, I've got some things I can give you, and you don't want to be, you know, unkind. So you say, yes, okay. And then they bring this stuff and you think, ooh, not sure I want this stuff.
Yeah, I gotcha. Right.
And so, you know, it's a process of sometimes I donate things that I don't want to resell that people have given me, but even my buying has to be contained. So December, the Lord laid it on my heart to do a thrifting fast. I did not buy anything to resell. I just worked on my current inventory that I already had, because my rule is if I don't have room in the garage or the basement, I'm not going to start cluttering up my living space on our main floor.
What have you found? What do you find with all of your houses? I mean, you must go into people's homes. What's your takeaway with us as people today? What do you see when you're out there when people have too much stuff?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times it's because, first of all, people are too busy with their job or their kids or their family, and they just don't get to it. I've done some organizing for people in the past where I've gone in and organized their spaces and decluttered their spaces. And, you know, some people it's just a lack of time, where other people it's a psychological issue where they're holding on to these things because it gives them some kind of comfort or security.
Yeah.
So those are things. But, you know, even, you know, as a reseller, you know, I've got to say no sometimes to things that would be good to buy for to resell if I just am running out of space, you know, and don't have time to sell everything I buy.
Yeah, and
so
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's just, you know, and God lays it on our hearts too. You know, it can be a spiritual issue because, you know, God wants us to have the time to make him a priority. And when you have too much stuff, you're so busy taking care of your stuff that you don't have time for what's really important, such as your family, your friends, and your relationship with Jesus.
Oh, amen to that. All right. Very good. Let's take a break. I'll tell you what we're going to do, though. We're going to continue this tomorrow as well. And we got calls coming in. So if you want to, we'll record these so we can air them tomorrow. So since we're here, let's do it. And then tomorrow you can hear more people calling and talking about this thing of decluttering, simplifying our lives. Because at the end of the day, we only get so much end of a day, right? We only get a few end of days, and how we spend the time and the resources make a difference. 888-1717.
Is there a person in your life that's difficult to love right now? In Dr. Randy's teaching, Love the Emotionally Sensitive, you'll learn how to care for emotionally struggling people while remaining healthy yourself.
How do we love an emotionally sensitive person? We are to be long-suffering,
we're to be kind, also, we've got to be intentional. If we're not intentional in dealing with a person, you're going to get sucked right into the emotionality of the relationship.
Start your year right and support intentional living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special New Year opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. That's what you can do. And when you do, our staff would love to hear from you. If you either call 888-888-1717, press number 2, or as Kurt mentioned, when you go online to theintentionallife.com, hit the little donate icon dealy there, and it'll take you to the page where you can say, I'm a part of the team with you guys, Randy and team, want to support you, and we'd love to have you do that. We need your help. We ran a little short at the end of the year. The team knows around here and our board, we're all in agreement. We don't borrow money. We don't borrow money. We're not the government. We don't borrow money. We don't publish money. We just use what comes in to go back out to help people in the ministry. And so if that resonates, love to have you be a part of the journey with us here. 888-888-1717. All right, let's go to Gary in Texas. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Yours is a not decluttering right. Stuff. Sounds like something in your heart and your emotions and relationship.
Yeah, it's a little of both, I would say. But it's just regarding, in my marriage. So, it was a couple years back, there was a long-term affair that was discovered with my wife. And, she's completely broken everything off and, she's focusing on the marriage, but now at this point, I'm just having a tough time, I guess, in regards to the decluttering. I'm having a tough time not harboring resentment and anger towards her. Also, we have two kids as well that we both love and care about. So we think about them all the time too. It's also like I've never been in my past a guy to just have like these like so many expectations, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when this happened, it's like my expectations for her and what she should do just like went through the roof, and I don't know why that is, and if she's not doing exactly what I think in my head she should be doing, then I automatically think she's not changed at all. Mm-hmm. Even though I know she's done a lot of work, at changing. So I guess it's managing my expectations and also, controlling my anger.
And you know, everything you're saying is very normal. I mean, this is not unnormal. She's been on a different schedule than you've been on. My guess is she's experienced forgiveness with God and working on forgiveness with you. And it sounds like she's putting her life back together and trying to put the marriage back together. But it's sort of like everything got dumped on your lap, you know, now, and you had certain expectations before all of this. So it was like and by the way, the formula is clear. Expectation minus reality is always a huge disappointment. And so you experienced a huge disappointment. And I'm wondering, just a thought, either you keep the expectations high, so you're always in a state of disappointment, so you don't have to face the final shoe being dropped. I don't know, maybe that. Or is it a controlling thing of saying, you know, I'm going to hold these high expectations because I'm sort of paying her back to say she owes me not only what she normally owes me, but plus. What do you think? What do you think?
I would say, especially at the start, the option B that you're talking about is definitely resonates a lot more with me. Now that it's been quite a while, it's slowly kind of, I guess, I'm slowly kind of letting go of that. But yes, I need to work on managing my expectations.
Yeah.
Big time.
You know, in that little formula, Gary, expectation minus reality, there's only two variables there. You could either change your expectations or you change reality. And frankly, what some people do in a situation like yours, and boy, we don't recommend it, is to say, I'm out of here. I'm just going to change reality. And I find so many people later say, boy, I wish I had taken the path that Gary's taken to work this through, because there's forgiveness and there's an opportunity to rebuild. But as you say, working on that expectation. And one of the ways you can do that, Gary, is biblically. You know, the Bible says that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Boy, that's powerful. Telling yourself the truth. So when Satan starts to lie to you or start to whisper, she's not measuring up with these expectations, change your mind, change what you're telling yourself, and be thankful, grateful. Look at the things that she is doing. I'm so grateful. And start expressing those things to her. That's reinforcing. And starting to do the things that will change how your mind wants to take you in a path of unmet expectations. Because that's an easy path to go. If we've been hurt, let's face it. I mean, let's look at it an example. Maybe you've got a restaurant. This is kind of an example that might work for some of us. You've been to a restaurant, you had expectations for it, and then they failed you. And it was supposed to be one of these 3 or 4 star, 5 star restaurants, and you got 1 star service and food. You're going to be gun shy. And they're going to have to prove to you that they are what they say they are. And so it takes time. There's a process. But as you start to look at your wife or at that person who's disappointed you, if they truly are changed, to say, Lord, thank you for what I see in this marriage. Thank you for the changes that are occurring, and allow our minds to be focused on Philippians 4:8, whatever's true, right, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report. I choose to think on that. Thank you, Gary. Very honest call from Texas. Some of you were late, I'm sure. We're out of time. The lines are full. I'll tell you what, ladies, gentlemen, hang on from all over the country. We want to hear your story. I'm going to record these in just a minute, and we'll share them tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Today, the message has been on simplifying and decluttering your life. Here's a question. What is it here in 2026 that maybe you and I have in our lives that may be keeping us from really experiencing our life, our marriage, our family, our health, our finances, the way God intended? Then maybe that's got to be decluttered. Some friendships that need to go, some spending that needs to go, some personal habits that need to be changed for God's glory and your benefit. I'm Dr. Randy. We'll get back to it tomorrow. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. If you don't know Jesus, it begins with a personal relationship with Him. Remember, He died for you, He loves you, and He wants the very best for your life. Give your life to Him today. I'm Dr. Randy from Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.